KATH, 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show on this beautiful May 18th. It's Monday. Hope your Monday is off to a good start. My name is Dave Palmer. Host of this program. We've been doing this for a long time. The good news is kind of a double meaning. We, of course, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's also that we like to tell you good news about things happening in the Dallas Diocese in particular, now that Julian has his Friday show at the same hour, focusing more on the Fort Worth Diocese. We tend to be a little bit more Dallas Diocese-oriented in this program. And so thank you so much for joining us. We're in that interesting post-ascension, pre-Pentecost, end of Easter period. And so hard to believe we're still in the Easter season. So happy Easter to you, and we're glad that you're with us. And I also want to thank Cecil Anderson. She's running the board. Her title is Mission Support and Design Creator. I always have to ask her her title because to me, she's always going to be the North Texas assistant, but that's not officially her title any longer.
No, it's
but
not.
I have a hard time letting go of that.
I can still be the North Texas assistant to you, Dave. It's okay.
Yeah, this title sounds a little more, yeah, even more dignified. Mission Support and Design Creator. And during the course of the show today, it's really interesting how this all came together. We're going to talk about four different events and ministries, and every single one of these is profoundly important to me personally for reasons that I will explain as we go through them. And the second half of the show, we're going to be joined by phone with Greg and Julie Alexander from the Alexander House. They have a gala coming up called First Comes Marriage. And I believe this is the first time they've had a gala outside of San Antonio where they are. And they chose Dallas, and it's going to be Friday, June 26th. They said they've already sold half of the tickets, and that's a really good sign when you're this far out. Father Donald Calloway is going to be the speaker of that event. So the reason that's important to me is that my wife and I received some, went through a program with the Alexander House a few years ago. And oh my goodness, it really, really blessed our marriage big time. So I'm delighted to promote them and their event in the second half of the program. And then another one that has indirectly blessed me profoundly in a huge way is Colby Prison Ministries. Because I have a very dear loved one and a dear friend who has in prison gone through at least two of the Colby Prison Ministry retreats. And these retreats, I mean, God's grace is God's grace, but God uses instruments. And these Colby Prison retreats, I know secondhand, bless a lot of prisoners. And I'm so delighted to have Terry Johnston in studio with me. If you're watching it on video, he's here with me in his bright red shirt that says Colby Prison Ministries. And he's going to talk about it. He actually is local. Colby came out of San Antonio, and he'll give the history of it. Came out of the Acts, you know, retreat movement. But he and his wife live in Rockwall. They're at Our Lady of the Lake Parish there in Rockwall, so it's great. He's been here about 5 or 6 years since around COVID time. So he's going to tell us about the Colby retreats, and also they have an event coming up as well that he'll tell you about. It's down in San Antonio. It's July 25th at St. Paul Catholic Church in San Antonio, but really, really excited to bring Kerry into the conversation, let you know about that. All right, before that, I'll tell you about a couple of other events. And first of all, I have a really strong connection to this one, Cecil, on July 18th. Because this is our event.
It is.
Keeping the Promise, a midsummer evening of wine, wisdom, and wow. And over the weekend, I started getting emails. People are buying their tickets, okay? And I am certain this is going to be a sellout for a couple of reasons. Well, it's just a cool event. I mean, it's a brand new event. We've never done this before. We've got four different panelists on, including Toya Hall, who is our founder, Doug Keck, who is president emeritus of EWTN. He's going to be bringing all kinds of Mother Angelica stories with him. Father Sam Medley, who's a priest of the Salt Order down in Corpus Christi. And, of course, he's one of the guests on The Quest a couple times a week. And he's on the morning show as well. And then Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live. And so all four of those, I'm going to be the MC. And this event is Saturday, July 18th. It's going to be at the Coppell Arts Center in Coppell, and it's going to be open bar. It's a really cool new venue, and it's just going to be an inspiring evening. You know, talking about the power of Catholic media, past, present, and future. And all these folks are going to be talking about that same theme, but from a different angle. So go to the coolest, I think, link we've ever had, grnonline.com/wow, if you want to get tickets, okay? grnonline.com/wow. And get your tickets while they last. They're $100 each, and that includes hors d'oeuvres and drinks and the presentations and all that. So,
and we're doing the food tasting this week, right? Is that this week or the next week?
Thursday.
It's the most important, arguably, part of the event. So don't worry, we'll make sure it's good.
And it's going to be a place called Macklin's, which is over in Addison. And I've never eaten their food yet, but it's a really nice catering place, and so we're excited about that. So that's the first event that I am excited to tell you about. The other one, and I have tickets to give away, because you may have heard of these Fullness of Truth events, and Fullness of Truth is out of Houston. Well, not this weekend, but the next weekend, they have an event called the Catholic Culture Revival 3.0, because I think this is the third time they've done this, and it's going to be at the Kalahari Resort down in Round Rock, Texas. And the speakers include Father Chad Ripperger, who's a renowned exorcist and theologian, Kyle Clement, Dr. Annie Tenen, Jesse Romero, who's a very dynamic evangelist, Jennifer Baugh, who's the founder of Young Catholic Professionals, and also Matthew Mondragon, who is going to be providing music for the event. And Ken is allowing me to give away some tickets. Okay, so the general admission tickets are $125 each. Okay, this gets you in all Friday through Sunday. It doesn't give you the hotel room. It doesn't give you food, but it gets you in. Okay, $125. I've got two of those to give away. And also family passes for you and all your kids to aged 21 and under to go to all the events Friday through Sunday. And also the water park, because Kalahari has a big water park, and you get admission to that as well. So the family passes are $275. So Ken is allowing me to give away two family passes and then two general admissions. There's a couple of ways you can get them. If you want to get them right now, you can either call and talk to Sissel, and Sissel will tell me as these run out. Just let her know, do you want a family pass or general admission? 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. Again, that's June 5th through 7th. It's not this weekend, but it's the next weekend. The phone's already ringing. Let me go ahead and just, let's just do the phone number now, because I don't want to, you know, cross paths here if I get my email. So be patient. Sissel has not learned how to bi-locate yet, so she can only take one call at a time. But if you want a family pass or if you want a general admission, we've got two of each. And very thankful to Fullness of Truth. And my connection with them is that I've emceed many of their events. They truly put on the best events I've ever experienced, okay? Because that's what they do. I mean, they don't run radio stations, and they don't run marriage apostolates or prison ministries. And all these groups put on events, but that's all they do is put on events. And they're awesome at it. They are the best. And so Catholic Cultural Revival, June 5th through 7th, Family Pass, or general admission, call right now, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424, and be quick, because those are going to run out very soon. All right, let's turn our attention now to my in-studio guest. Kerry Johnston is president of Colby Prison Ministries. They're located online at colbyprisonministries.org, and he is president. Like I said, they've got a big event coming up on July 25th. Their mission is to share the agape love of Jesus Christ with those in prison and to teach the fullness of the truth of the Catholic Church to the incarcerated. And they carry that out by presenting three-day retreats with the prisoners, followed by ongoing Catholic formation. Each prison is served by local Catholic volunteers who bring into the prisons training materials, literature, videos, with the purpose of educating inmates about the Catholic faith and answering those who have shown an interest in learning more about the Catholic faith and attending retreat. Kerry, as I mentioned a moment ago, your ministry has secondhand touched my life profoundly. And so I thank you so much for what you do and everybody involved in Colby, because I know that you're changing lives, and you know it better than I do. But welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. You gave the mission statement and a good recap of what our ministry is all about, and so you've stolen my first 3 minutes, which well, is just fine.
It gives us more time for other things, right?
Absolutely.
Well, tell us, before we get into that, I'd love to know a little bit about your story. And
you and your wife
have lived in North Texas here in the Rockwall area for about 5 or 6 years. Well, what's your background, and how did you get involved in Colby?
Yeah, we lived in San Antonio for 18 years, so that's really was the genesis of a lot of the things that I've been involved in, especially in this case, Colby Prison Ministries, which started in the Hill Country area. Background was just business, worked in the oil fields and so on. And then decided that when I retired, which I am happily retired, to really focus on ministries. And I had done, through the church in San Antonio, had done a variety of ministries, the pro-life ministries, very involved in that, Stephen ministry, hospital ministry, and some other ministries. Don't mean to toot my own horn, but as I was thinking about that and thinking about this interview, that I realized that those ministries were really important. They very, very important, and they were ministries that touched my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally agreed after a number of promptings from a friend in San Antonio to go ahead and try going into prison, because it's not something that you usually wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'd like to go to prison and be a volunteer and go behind the locked gates and all
kind
this stuff.
Kind of intimidating, yeah.
It is intimidating if you believe that the movies on prisons and whatnot are what you're going to expect.
Yeah.
And it is not like that.
And I can say firsthand, I've probably been into the problem. I was in a prison yesterday. I mean, this is something that I'm very, very familiar with. And you're right. The staff are outstanding, and I've never once felt unsafe.
And you're exactly right. And all the retreats, all the other ministry activities that we've had through Colby Prison Ministries, I don't know of a single one where there have been any kind of safety issue, anything like that. So in terms of concerns about going into a prison for your own personal safety, that has not been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got another story I could tell about that. But I was going to mention, as far as the other ministries that I've done, I finally got around to doing prison ministry. And it's something, as I mentioned to you before this, that is something that actually touched my soul.
Mm.
And so in terms of deciding to plant my flag, for my personal efforts in ministry and so on was to be involved in Colby Prison Ministries. It seems like full time. I mean, as president, I get to kind of push the biggest broom, so to speak.
Yeah.
It is practically a full time job, which is fine. I love it. We have a lot of things that need to get done. We're growing. We have about 1,800 volunteers at this point in time. Mm. We're in 90 prisons across 5 states. We've served over the period of time about 23,000 inmates. We've presented about 500 retreats. So we've been very, very active, and I just love it. It's something that certainly floats my boat.
Yeah, when I spoke to you on the phone last week, you told me a little bit about the timeline of Colby, and I jotted this down. Tell me if this is right. 2009, it was approved to do ACTS retreats in San Antonio. So initially, this was an ACTS retreat that you were just bringing into the prisons.
Right.
And then in 2014, you kind of jumped out of the nest and began, outside of ACTS, doing your own thing. Is that right?
Basically right. It was back in 2009, an inmate who had been through an ACTS retreat approached one of the founders, Larry Ray, and said, you ought to be doing ACTS retreats in the prison. There are other prison ministries that are offering retreats and other things like that, but they're not Catholic, and they sometimes misrepresent what Catholics are all about, which is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was the germ of an idea to go ahead and start with the ACTS retreats in prison. And that's what it was to begin with. It was Prison ACTS, ACTS, for those that are familiar with ACTS retreats. Anyway, over time, it was very clear that we could not do ACTS retreats as they're designed because of security and other reasons. And so it became clear that we needed to have our own ministry set up, and that became Colby Prison Ministries. Colby being St. Maximilian Colby, as many people would know. In fact, I'm staring at a picture of him right here in the studio, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we've had this. Yeah, John Sestita, the local artist, gave that to me, but it's never been so meaningful as this interview.
It is very meaningful. Yeah. In fact, I'd like to, when you step out of here, I'm probably going to pack it up and walk out of here with it.
I can get you one.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get you one. You don't have to steal ours, okay? I don't want you ending up in prison, okay?
Been in prison a lot, but, not in that way. Yeah.
So you talked about 90 prisons in 5 states, so you continue to expand. Is the goal to be in all 50 states? Is that ultimately what you'd like to do?
That would be the dream.
Yeah.
The problem, as you might imagine, for a ministry to grow, you have to have a lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
And the problem is there's so many people that are involved in so many good things, other things than prison ministry, and it's a lot easier to get them involved in feeding the hungry or pro-life or some other things like that they're both safe and they're a little more acceptable, let's say.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. When you finally say, hey, would you like to come into prison with me and serve the men inside or men and women inside, it's a hard sell to a lot of them. And so you can't invite them, through media generally. It's really got to be more one-on-one, word of mouth, and inviting somebody, getting an invitation from somebody who you trust. You trust that they are telling you the truth. And I had a friend of mine in San Antonio that kept pushing back on being involved in the ministry. And finally, the Year of Mercy, many years ago, he said, hey, it's a Year of Mercy. I guess I really ought to go into the prison with you. And I'm very uncomfortable about doing that. And every meeting we had, I'm very uncomfortable. And it's outside my comfort zone. So we get into prison and start the retreat, and I kept my eye on him. I was one of the directors at that time, and so I have a little time at the beginning to kind of check things out and so on. So I walked over to this guy's table to kind of see how he was doing. He's standing up talking with another inmate, and they're laughing and getting along, bonding after an hour of the retreat as if they were friends their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like if you go in and you think that it's going to be a tough, difficult, scary situation, he found it to be exactly the opposite. He absolutely loved it. And I think that a lot of people that have given it a try will feel the same way.
Kerry Johnston is my guest, president of Colby Prison Ministries. If you put a .org at the end of that, that you'll get to their website. In 90 prisons, 5 states. And so when you talk about needing you need volunteers.
Oh, absolutely.
And that it's going to be contingent upon your expansion is going to be contingent upon getting more volunteers.
Right.
You put on these retreats. What exactly do people, what do you need people to do? And what kind of skill sets do you need? Who are you speaking to, and who would be a good volunteer?
Probably the starting place would be to volunteer for being a retreat team member. If you've been through an ACTS retreat, you have a good idea of really what is going to happen in there. That would really get them started, get them fired up, and get them believing that this is a worthwhile ministry. We have others that are going into the prisons after these retreats to do OCIA or Bible study. There's some other ministries that they can do that are more like on a weekly or biweekly basis. So those are the starting points. There's other things from an organizational standpoint. In terms of our board, we're divided into 6 different committees, and the committee that I do is communications. And so I'm always needing people to help with – it's me, myself, and I right now, more or less – to help with writing articles or doing interviews or getting involved in writing information for our website, those kinds of things. So it's really the starting point, I think, though, still is to get your feet wet on what this ministry is all about by joining us in a retreat, and then we can talk about what are the things you bring and what are the things you'd like to get involved in and where you might fit.
So, these are multi-day retreats?
These are three-day retreats like an axe retreat, because they started.
And they don't spend the
axe.
Night in the prison. Your people come and go. Right? They don't put you in a cell.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. We do not spend the night in the prison.
Because typically axe retreats are overnight, right?
They are. Depending upon how far away the prison is, one of the prisons that's close here in Dallas, I can go home. Others, we're staying in a hotel or some other campsite or whatever. We've stayed in churches, wherever there's a possibility there. Mostly it's been hotels where we have to travel. And you know that the prisons are not typically located in urban areas. They're going to be out for obvious reasons.
Right.
So that means that we would probably have to travel, you know, could be an hour, 2 hours to get to them.
Yeah.
And so you can't really commute. And because mm-hmm. We get up at 5 a.m. to go into the prison at 6. So it's not something that is conducive to us being able to travel a long distance every day to, you know, commute to do the retreat.
Tell us about the recruitment of the participants of the retreat, and how do you get the word out inside the retreat, and how open are these men and women to doing this? Is this something that you kind of have to twist their arm, and then once they get there, because I do interviews all the time on Rachel's Vineyard retreats, and a lot of people they just don't want to do it, but then once they get there, they love it, and they find the healing. Is it more that way, or is it like, hey, maybe get some free food and, a way out of the routine of regular prison life?
Okay. Or
are they excited to do this?
So you're talking about the inmates.
Yeah, the
participation.
Inmates.
Okay.
Yeah, getting them to participate.
You hit the nail on the head. The majority of them, I would say, when they do sign up for this, if they are the ones that sign up, sometimes if their friends sign them up, unbeknownst to them, and they just end up showing up. But most of them that do sign up realize that we have bring in some pretty good food.
Yeah.
Some of it restaurant quality. In fact, we have restaurants that will provide some of the food so that it makes it quite good. They have time away from maybe some work or boring schedules. Life in the prison is very boring. I mean, they're twiddling your thumbs. I mean, it's just they are active doing work or education or whatever. But beyond that, it can be pretty boring. So they're looking for other things to do.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity, too, to get together with some of their friends that may be at this retreat, which we have to make sure we're separating from tables so we don't have – they're paying attention to the retreat, not to just their buddies.
And I guess it's one of those things like whatever lures them in, right? Whatever
Absolutely.
Gets them there,
yep.
You know, that it doesn't really matter. They're there for something good like food or just getting away from a boring routine,
right.
Like you say. But
right.
Once they get there, what kind of an impact have you seen? I told you my loved one has told me that this has made a big, big difference. In fact, the most recent time that it was offered, he said, I'm not going to do it for a third time because I've already done it twice and I want somebody else to have this opportunity.
Right.
So
right.
So what kind of transformation do you see?
Oh, that's what really brings a lot of them back, a lot of the volunteers back, because they see how palpable the Holy Spirit is in these retreats. And it's one of those you and I were talking about. It's for those that haven't been in prison or it's done ministry like this, to realize why would somebody want to do this? Why would the Holy Spirit be palpable in prison? And you think about where Jesus spent his time on earth. It was with the outcasts and the forgotten and the lost, really. And so when we look at prison, it's the same population. It's the people that are lost and in need and forgotten and neglected and all those things. And so it's pretty special when you get somebody finally agreeing to be a volunteer to go in there and minister to them and realize that the Holy Spirit is there and palpable. And I have seen so many things. I'll tell you one story, and if I can keep my composure on it, because it's all these things that do touch my soul. You know, it's just amazing stories. But we had a gentleman, again, confidentiality. I'll say the word, get it right. Give me third time was a charm. Individual, actually, was walking into the prison at the same time as the prison chaplain. And we're talking and so on. He says, you don't realize this, but when anybody who signs up that's on the inside, an inmate that signs up to go on one of these things, I have to let him in. regardless of what they are. He says, you don't know this, but you have four Satan worshipers on this retreat, the inmates that are going to be on this retreat. Yeah. It's sort of like, ooh, okay, we give these guys hugs and we have a lot of time bantering with them and have a good time with them. And we don't know. We don't ask them what they did to get in there. We don't ask them how long they've been in there, that kind of thing. So we didn't know who these guys were. Anyway, so over the course of this retreat, at the very end of the retreat, we have an opportunity to have some mic time with the prisoners, and they'll stand up and say what the retreat meant to them. Anyway, this one guy stands up and he says, "You guys that are in here, the inmates, you know who I am, but these guys in like red shirts or colored shirts, they don't know who I am." He said, "I am the leader of the Satanists here in this prison." He said, "And when I walked, we had held this in a gymnasium, typically a gymnasium, a large classroom, or a chapel if they have the chapel at those prisons. So one of those spaces is the retreat space." So he walks into the gymnasium first day, and he said, "When I walked into the gymnasium on day one, I felt something. I don't know what it was, but I've never felt anything like that before." Mm. And we had adoration going on.
Oh, really?
And he didn't know it. And so over the course of the retreat, we're talking about, you know, the Adoration Chapel is kind of a temporary, covered with tarps and so on. It's just where we can separate a little bit of space. And so we have the Blessed Sacrament back there. So he said, "I want to go back there and find out what that's all about." So he went back there by himself, and he said, "I had a mystical experience back there in the Adoration Chapel that I cannot explain." And he said that... "I believe that God is real, that God is calling me. I'm renouncing Satan here, and I am going to join I'm going to participate in the OCAA or RCAA at that time and become Catholic."
Oh, wow.
And here's the number one Satanist in that prison.
Yeah.
And in 3 days' time, he decides that he wants to become Catholic. And so when you're talking about the power of the, and that's not us.
Yeah.
That's not us.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit. We're just, fortunate witnesses to see what the Holy Spirit can do in the lives and the hearts of these men and the souls, and to change them. And that's probably the most powerful story. But there's many more like that you can see that there's truly a change in their life and in their direction, and hopefully for their opportunity to make it to heaven.
Yeah, because I know firsthand that a lot of these guys they dwell in the past. They dwell on what they did, why they're there, the fact that they hate being there. And Colby allows them to see hope, to see something in the future where they can actually, like you said, with that example you just mentioned, complete transformation of life. Carrie, thank you. We're down to a last couple of minutes here. I want to make sure that we can tell people who are listening, if they want to be involved, what's the first step and how quickly are they going to get involved? Where are you going to
Absolutely.
Sign them? You know, that Absolutely. Kind of thing. Talk about that.
Starting point would be to go to our website, colbeprisonministries.org. That's K-O-L-B-E. That's how you spell Colby. And that would be the place to go to learn more about what we're really about, just more information. We have a couple of different contact forms on that website. Send us an email and let us know you're interested, and we can get in touch with you and get you in touch with the local groups in that area, the different core teams and so on within Texas or other states we're involved. That would be the starting point. And again, like I said before, I think if you're involved in participating in a retreat to begin with, men and women, we have women's retreats also, and we're growing gangbusters in that area, and even in Texas. So you know, that would be the place to start. And we also have, as Dave is pointing to me right now, we have our 11th annual conference coming up here on July 25th in San Antonio. it's my home area. I'm looking forward to getting back to San Antonio. I love this area, but San Antonio also is a very soft spot in my heart.
Do you have a speaker for that? Or what would the event be?
We have Father Mitch Pacwa.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I talked with him a little bit ago. And he's going to be involved with us again. The Bishop Gary Yannick will be our speaker, and also will be celebrating Mass for us at the end of the
All right. Praise God. Conference. So a lot going on. ColbyPrisonMinistries.org. ColbyPrisonMinistries.org is the website. And I know that a lot of time when people go on mission trips to some third world nation, they come back and they'll say, I don't know who benefited more, me or the people, because they minister, yeah, you know, reciprocally. Right. And I know this is the case as well. You told us that beautiful story about the ex-Satanist, and I know there are stories of people who have volunteered that you could probably tell us, and their lives were transformed because they went into the prison, right, and ministered. So great to have you on. And I guess you're friends with Greg and Julie, so you're going to hang around for the second part.
Looking forward
as
to that.
Well.
Yes.
And Cecil, a little update. Did we give away any of the family passes? We got two individual general admissions?
Technically it would be four individuals, I guess, because it's two for each of those ladies. And then we had some interest in the family passes, but no one has claimed them yet because schedule. I know the summer schedule is hard for everybody, but hopefully some people can claim them, because I think it'd be a great fun thing.
Yeah, so general admission are two pairs, and so we got our two
pairs.
And then two family passes are still available. Mm-hmm. So this is like worth $275. And again, just as a reminder, this is the Catholic Cultural Revival event, Restoring the Good, True, and Beautiful to a Searching World. It's going to be not this weekend, but next weekend, June 5th through 7th at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center. I believe that this might be the largest indoor water park in the world. I mean, it's really nice. I've been there several times. Father Chad Ripperger is going to speak, Kyle Clement, Dr. Annie Tinnen, Jesse Romero, Jennifer Ball, and the music of Matthew Mondragon. And again, if you would like a family pass, that's you and your spouse and all your kids under 21, if they live under your roof, can go. So call Cecil and let her know if you want a family pass. And it could just be you and your spouse and one child, and you don't have to have a huge family. 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. And I realize I'm putting the phone number, and Cecil's got to call two people now and get them on the line. So anyways, just be patient with her. She's got to get the Alexanders on the line. But we'll be right back to talk about the First Comes Marriage Gala benefiting the Alexander House. We're going to be joined by their founders, Greg and Julie Alexander, right after this.
Bishop Edward J. Burns will gather with the faithful of the Diocese of Dallas on Saturday, June 6th, at the National Shrine Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe to celebrate the Diocese of Dallas Neophyte Mass beginning at 5 p.m. This special Mass honors all in the diocese who were newly baptized or received into the Catholic Church at the Easter Vigil and Pentecost. It is a celebration of new life in Christ and the beauty of faith flourishing in our local church. Please join Bishop Burns in praying for our neophytes as they grow in discipleship and take their next steps in the Catholic faith.
It was years ago.
Shouldn't I be over it now?
Why does it feel like yesterday?
The pain is still there.
The guilt still haunts me.
The sadness is overwhelming.
I don't understand these bursts of anger.
Are you suffering from a past abortion? We can help. Call 214-544-CARE.
I want to feel connected again.
Sometimes I'm just numb.
It's just not getting any better.
You don't need to hurt anymore. Call 214-544-CARE or visit racheldallas.org.
John Paul II High School is offering summer camps for elementary and middle school students. These camps include sport-specific programs, as well as STEM, chess, and visual arts. The summer camps will be held during June and July at John Paul II High School in Plano. The camps provide a structured environment rooted in Catholic values that support students' academic, athletic, and social growth. For more information or to register, visit the John Paul School website at jp2cardinals.org. That's jp2cardinals.org.
The Catholic Brothers for Christ are sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. They are a group of men of various ages and places in life who are deeply committed to having a relationship with Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel through the witness of lively brotherhood rooted in prayer, the sacraments, mentorship, and service. To learn more about Catholic Brothers for Christ, visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com. That's CatholicBrothersForChrist.com.
We already had children and were barely making ends meet when I found out I was pregnant again. I made the decision to not have my child, and to this day it still haunts me. We at Healing After Abortion understand this pain. Whether you thought it was your only option or felt pressured to make the decision, find healing on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat on June 5th through 7th. Call us confidentially at 214-544-CARE or visit us at racheldallas.org.
HomeschoolConnections.com offers both live and self-paced online courses in a variety of subjects faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church for your 3rd through 12th grade student and your homeschool co-op. HomeschoolConnections.com courses are taught by instructors who are experts in their fields and who are committed to the Catholic faith. HomeschoolConnections.com can help you make homeschooling easier. HomeschoolConnections.com, a sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network. And we're back. This is the Good News Show. It is May 18th, and we're delighted to talk about all kinds of amazing events here in the local area. You know, in a metroplex like this, pretty much every single weekend, there's something going on. And so we are delighted. Sissel, by the way, said that one of the family passes to the Fullness of Truth event on June 5th through 7th has now been claimed. And if you want a family pass, go ahead and call her now, because I think she has one more line open, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. And now I'm just doubly excited to introduce some wonderful people who have just done so much to bless marriages, including our marriage. I mentioned at the beginning that a few years ago, my wife and I were going through a real kind of rough patch, and we have some friends who are involved with Julie and Greg Alexander in the Alexander House. Went through a program, and oh my goodness, it was such a blessing to us, and we still are benefiting from that. And so I have on the line with me Greg and Julie Alexander, and they are the founders of the Alexander House. And if you put a .org at the end of that, you can learn all about their ministry and the way that they are doing so much to help marriages. And they are happy to announce that their inaugural First Comes Marriage formal gala is going to be in the Dallas area. In fact, it is going to be Friday, June 26th, beginning at 6 p.m. at the Statler Hotel on Commerce Street in Dallas, with keynote speaker Father Donald Calloway. And from what Greg told me earlier today, about half of the tickets are already sold. This is going to be a black tie formal attire event, so it's going to be very classy. I'm sure they're going to have delicious food. And so, Greg and Julie Alexander, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
And we've got a friend of yours in studio that I just talked to, Kerry Johnston with Colby Prison Ministries. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so you can say hi, Kerry, if you want. You want to say hi?
Hi, guys.
Absolutely. Hey, Kerry, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, blessed for sure. Good to talk to you.
When I told him you guys were going to be the guests in the second half, he said, oh, great, they're coming in studio. And I said, no, they're going to be on the phone. And so he decided to hang around. So he's going to be listening in on this this conversation. But I know we want to talk about the theme of First Comes Marriage and also, of course, this big event on June 26th. But if I could, one of y'all, could you just give us a little bit of background? I would just speak to the person who's learning about the Alexander House for the first time, a little bit about your founding, your history. And I know it's a personal thing with the two of you in your marriage, but can you just maybe spend a couple of minutes and give a little bit of the background, one of y'all?
Oh, absolutely. They will be honored to. Of course, the Alexander House is a result of Julie and myself bouncing back from the brink of divorce some 27 years ago now. And just quite simply by living by the ways of the world, you know, money, materialism, all the stuff in the world was our center of importance, if you will. In fact, it's what we allowed our happiness to be found in. And as you know, Dave, those things don't bring a long-term happiness, if you will. So as those things begin to fade and we couldn't find it in each other, we both started looking for that happiness in other people. And so when those secrets were discovered, I simply concluded that if we're having to resort to this kind of behavior in our marriage, then there can't be much of a marriage left. And so I simply asked Julie for a divorce. And she immediately agreed. She said, after all, that's how we're living our lives. We're physically together, but we're spiritually divorced. And but neither one of us made a move, but we did continue to go to Mass every Sunday. And this particular summer, we had a visiting priest who filled in for our pastor, who was just a great teacher of the faith. His homilies were incredible, set our hearts on fire. We started learning things about this Catholic faith we knew nothing about. And we started meeting with this priest in between the two Mass times. And Charlie found that he was the tribunal vicar for the diocese. And if we didn't know anything else about our faith at that time, Dave, we at least knew that this is the guy that does that annulment thing. And we thought God was blessing us with this awesome priest that was going to show us how to get divorced, get annulled, and start all over again somewhere else. So Julie made an appointment to see him. He thought we were coming by for a friendship visit, but we proceeded to build our case again, as to why we felt we could no longer stay married. You know, pointing the fault and blame at each other, talking about the infidelities and the whole nine yards. But as we were done, this good priest leaned forward and said, look, guys, I understand your plight and your situation, but let me ask you a few questions. What is God's plan for marriage? What does our church teach about marriage? What are some of the writings of St. Paul and the various holy fathers pertaining to the sacrament of marriage? Julie and I looked at each other, dumbfounded, shrugged the shoulders, said, we don't know, Father. And what does this have to do with our marriage relationship? He said, precisely. So what I suggest is that you go back and find some answers to the questions that I've asked before you make a final decision. And so to make a long story short, Dave, I went back and for the next 2 days didn't go to work or anything. I just holed up in my bedroom reading scripture, accessing the catechism for the first time, finding about these things called encyclicals. St. John Paul the Great's Familiaris Consortio was the first one I downloaded and read from cover to cover. But after two intense days of reading and praying, I called Julie through and said, I want to share with you what our church has to teach about the sacrament of marriage. In all honesty, I told her, I said, no wonder we're messing it up because we're not living our marriage anywhere close to this. Look at this stuff. So sharing with her my notes as well, what I found in her, she was just as much in awe as I was. In fact, she turned to me, she said, wow, this is incredible. What do we do? And instinctively, I said, I don't know, maybe we need to pray. Because we had never prayed together. 10 years of marriage, beautiful kids, beautiful family, awesome jobs, awesome lifestyle. But we never, not one time, Dave, have taken the time to humble ourselves, to go to our Father in prayer. And so I took her by the hand, got on her knees. I recited a simple prayer, which consisted of something like, Father, we tried living marriage our way. It doesn't work. We tried the world's way. It doesn't work. And we sincerely invite you into our lives to show us how you want us to live marriage. And if you deliver us from this evil, we will commit the rest of our lives living in some kind of, or working in some kind of marriage or family ministry. And so, you know, they old saying, be careful what you pray for. So God went to work and so did we. So that was about, again, 27 short years ago that we said that prayer. And for the last 26 years, Julie and I have been devoted in full-time ministry, helping to evangelize these beautiful truths that our church has to help couples come back, not only together in a marriage, but to come to Christ and his beautiful church.
Oh, man, Greg, thank you so much. That was a beautiful summary. And I didn't realize it had been 27 years. And the number of couples that the Holy Spirit has blessed through your ministry is just amazing. And Julie, let me ask you about this theme of first comes marriage. And I'd like you to, first of all, just kind of give an assessment. Now that we know y'all's story and how you were at the brink of divorce, you know, how is marriage overall? And maybe you can explain how the theme of first comes marriage ties into that and what that means in the first place.
Absolutely. Dave, as we know in our culture and our society, the foundation of all things in our culture is the marriage and the family. And what begets the family is the marriage. And unfortunately, whether inside the church, outside the church, you know, we've seen marriage plummet to people aren't getting married anymore. The marriage rate has fallen drastically. And then the divorce rate has basically kept the same, but there's as many divorces and less people getting married. People have almost, in a sense, you can see in our culture, it's given up on marriage. You know, the young kids, when we go and give a talk to young adults, they don't seem to even care to be married because they're afraid of it because of what they've witnessed, what they've seen. And so what we've seen, and even what you did to introduce the program, and I thank you so much for being vulnerable and awesome. Every couple needs to go through some kind of continuing education, enrichment. You know, we think the I do at the altar should take us through till death do us part. And often we just go, well, I said I love you. I said I do this, I do that. Now let's go live our lives as if we are just on a parallel train track going to nowhere. Where instead of coming together, helping each other, learning God's plan for marriage, because he created and he designed it, but it's amazing how lack of knowledge and ignorance people have in terms of what his plan is for marriage. And so we knew that with this gala, you know, we've been doing them here in San Antonio, we're spreading, we have 28 couples trained now doing marriage discipling, and we knew that we had to have something that stuck into the minds of the hearts of the people is first comes marriage. We need to give time and attention to the very foundation of what everything comes through. You know, it's not just an issue among many. We have so many problems that we see with families and communities and even the church. but it's typically and almost always connected to the breakdown and breaking up of marriage, and then family goes, and then the rest of the culture goes, and then the rest of society goes.
Yeah.
So first comes marriage as a clarion call to just say, we need to do something good and positive to proclaim God's plan for marriage to the world.
Yeah, that's going to be the title of the gala coming up on Friday, June 26th. Father Donald Calloway will tell more details about that as well at the Statler Hotel. It's going to be a fancy event with some delicious food, a great talk, and also supporting a great ministry as well in the Alexander House. Greg and Julie Alexander, married couple, and they are the founders of this. And if you just put a .org at the end of the Alexander House, you can find out all about the event and also their apostolate as well. So Greg, some people say, what's the big deal? It's a private affair between two people. Why does anybody else need to even care about a marriage other than those two people? What would you say to that?
I'd say that's been the biggest force that we've ever bought in our lives, Dave. Yeah, yes, marriage is private between the couples themselves, if you will, but it has implications all over the place, starting with our children in our marriages, because they're growing up in homes watching mom and dad model what a marriage should look like. And with the divorce rate being what it is, you know that many kids are growing up having no idea what a good, solid, happy, holy marriage, what it should look like and how it operates, if you will. So it starts there. But as Julie had alluded to as well, many of the social ills that we see in our society today has a direct link to the breakup and breakdown of marriage and family life. And so, again, if we want to have a stronger society, a stronger world, a stronger church, we have to go back and begin to focus on the marriage relationship, because without that, we continue to pick up the garbage in the street, so to speak, the juvenile delinquency, teenage pregnancy, and all these different social ills that we have to deal with, because kids are out looking for ways to cope with life and to escape from the problems and issues many times that they have experienced in their homes. And so we have to go back and, again, make marriage a priority, equip moms and dads with what it is they need to know to live those happy, holy relationships so that they can be the proper model for their children. So when they grow up and leave the home, and God willing is called to the vocation of marriage, then they know exactly what it is that they need to do. And unfortunately, too many times, there's no education whatsoever. And then the kids grow up and want to get married in the church. Hopefully, we're starting to see a decrease in that as well. But then there's marriage preparation. And I'm sorry, but that 48-hour engaged encounter weekend or those 6 to 8 sponsor couple sessions is not enough to equip those young adults of what they're going to have to encounter in life in regards to their marriage to be successful.
Yeah,
and Dave, you can see it. I mean, even in that, because what Greg is speaking to, when you look at it from the other side, when marriage is not supported, couples feel so alone and like they're on an island, and people are going to this. It's a trend of having problems, not wanting to tell anybody, even getting a divorce before anybody even knows, and then coming to tell the families. But I always find it amazing how people are so excited to get ready for that wedding, to participate in the wedding, buy a dress, to hang out with our friends from college or people we know from work or families coming together, and the church is packed. And then after the I do, where'd everybody go? Because
mm-hmm.
we often have times now even where family members, friends, people in the church are encouraging people to find a way out. You don't need to deal with this. This is too hard. You need to have fun. You need to be happy. Instead of saying, like we used to hear, you got married, it's a commitment before God and each other, and you need to remain faithful, and we will be here to help you walk that journey. And that is what marriage discipling does.
Yes, amen. Greg and Julie Alexander from the Alexander House joining me. And Greg, what about the church's role? We typically assume that the Catholic Church is involved in marriage, and most people ideally will get married inside of a church, hopefully with a mass. But what is the church doing enough to support marriage, in your opinion?
I don't think so. And you don't even have to take my word for it, Dave. If you get on the internet and look at any diocese or parish across the nation, you'll see that virtually there's nothing in the parish, with the exception of maybe marriage preparation for the marriage relationship. And of course, our beloved Holy Father John Paul the Great calls us as a church to be there through the whole of life of the marriage, not just during the preparation phase, but for the enrichment phase, and especially during the troubled times. And there's virtually nothing in the parish setting to help couples in that regard. Again, Julie and I, as we were experiencing our difficulties, our first response was, let's go to the church and see what we can find. And of course, there was nothing there. And so we need to do a better job as a church to be able to help couples live this sacrament, because, of course, marriage is a sacrament. And it's a church, you know, who is the mother of distributing these sacraments. So therefore, we should be there in engaging in that important role of cultivating and growing and strengthening marriages, again, so they can be what they need to be.
And Julie, you know, we talk about the state's responsibility, the church's responsibility. What about the average person listening right now? What about me? What can I do as a married man, or somebody else listening who's married, or maybe even a single person? What can each individual person do to strengthen marriage and show the culture that this is important?
Okay, first and foremost, go home and serve your wife tonight, and I know she'll love me for that. But that is true. We are examples to our children and to the rest of the world. Let us become so attractive in the way that we speak to each other, the way that we love each other, the way that we encourage each other and lift each other up, as we are told in Scripture. Lift each other up, build each other up out of reverence for Christ. So if we work on our own marriages and put time and attention investing in our marriage, because when you invest in something, you do get a return on that investment, maybe not immediately and maybe not like right now that you'll see it, but God sees everything. And so we're here to show the world what God's love looks like. But all of us, family, friends, neighbors, we can encourage people by telling them, you know, God has a plan for marriage. God is committed to your marriage. We're here. We can pray with you. We can walk with you. Nobody has to have a perfect marriage to help somebody else. We just need to tell them that there is hope and there's reasons to stay together, because all marriages struggle at one time or another. No marriage is perfect. But if we can be more encouraging to help people have hope and to tell them to get help, that would be way far better than what we're doing now.
I want to get to this event, the June 26th event. But before that, you mentioned, I think you said 28 couples that are helping you with this. I know our friends, Mike and Teresa Pratt, are a couple of them. If somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, gosh, you know, maybe we want to do that, maybe we can be a sponsor couple or support them. Greg, can you tell us, what are you in need of and what their next step should be?
Yeah, again, David, as you just mentioned, we have 28 couples around the nation currently serving. And, of course, due to, you know, beautiful stations like yourself, platforms like GRN, EWTN Radio, we literally get that worldwide exposure. So we have couples literally calling in from all over the world. And so, therefore, we need couples everywhere. I like to have a couple in every state, every nation, to be able to minister to these couples that are in need. And so we typically ask for couples to be married at least 7 years, preferably having experienced some kind of difficulty in your marriage, because Robin Zamora, a director of the Marriage Disciples Program, she does a good job of not only vetting the couples that come to us for help to make sure that we are indeed what they need and that they don't need traditional counseling, but then she also does a great job of matching them with someone who has walked in their shoes. In the healing process and that coming together, the reconciliation process is so much easier and stronger when a couple is hurting, is sitting across the table from someone else who understands where they've been, but more importantly, where they need to go. And so that process works a whole lot easier. So you can reach the Marriage Disciples website through the Alexander House, or you can go to marriagedisciples.org. And it has a link there that if you're interested in becoming a marriage disciple, it talks about what are some of the qualifications and what that entails. But more importantly, it'll get you linked to Robin, and she'll get you going.
Yeah, and my wife and I were thought, another program, we'll go through it and we'll see how this goes. And it was administered by friends of ours, but little by little, whatever it is, it works. And I can tell you. And so maybe you're not the sponsor couple, maybe you're the couple that needs the help, and you can go to that same website and inquire about getting help for your marriage as well, the alexanderhouse.org. And just a few minutes remaining, and I don't want to not talk about this event, because this is the primary reason we're doing this. So, Julie, First Comes Marriage Gala, Friday, June 26th at the Statler Hotel. This looks like a really classy, cool event. Keynote speaker, Father Donald Calloway. I understand half the tickets are already sold. What else should our listeners know about this?
Yes, it's going to be a wonderful evening. And Dave, thank you so much again for allowing us to come on today. But the evening is being produced in partnership with Hen Papine, which is the founder of Papayan Studios, and you will hear about this more in the future. But it's a media company focused on creating projects that really bring to light the faith, inspire hope, and positively influence the culture. And it is going to be something that is just like you, the food is phenomenal. The night will be amazing. We will have dancing and understanding of what the Alexander House does and what we need support for. All the programs we have in the marriage discipling, we do not charge couples for our program. They are not charged a dime. So we're raising funds to not only continue that support, to train other couples, which we don't charge them to be trained either, and to spread the word, to get the word out, to know that there is hope for marriage. And it's all really for the glory of God, as it is that marriage is a sign of His love for us and for the good of marriage. And the evening is just going to be awesome. So we're inviting people to go to the Alexander House and look at the Dallas Gala, and you can sign up there.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it to Dallas. What a blessing. I guess have a couple minutes remaining. Greg and Julie Alexander, founders of the Alexander House, 26 years ago, are my guests. They're going to have their big gala at the Statler Hotel June 26th with Father Donald Calloway. And if you each can just take a minute, and anything else that you would like to impart to our listeners about marriage, about the event. I'll start with you, Greg, and then we'll close with Julie. What else would you like to add, Greg, as we finish out this interview?
I think much of what we already talked about, and I'll just echo that sentiment again, Dave, is that when we strengthen marriage, we strengthen the family. And when we strengthen the family, we strengthen the church. And when we strengthen the church and the family, we help heal all of society. Again, to help minimize and mitigate altogether many of these social ills that we see that are hurting our children, we can do away with if we go back and focus on our marriage relationship and allow the domestic church to be just that, the domestic church.
Thank you, Greg. Julie, last word?
Yes, we're excited also in that area. We have a couples of you, as you have mentioned, that are marriage disciples, but also a couple that are marriage disciple missionaries who have also given up everything that they had been doing in the corporate world, the Thompsons, and they're going from church to church, business to business, and all those places to just spread the word about getting people involved in what we're doing through corporate sponsorships and priests and people, DREs, and people that are helping us spread the word that we need to get as many marriage disciples trained as possible, because the issue in marriage, as you said before, Dave, you know, that Sister Lucia from Fatima said the final battle between God and Satan is between marriage and the family. But then it goes on to say, but those who work for marriage will always be opposed. So the battle is real. The battle is going crazy. And we see it every day that the enemy is trying to destroy families, trying to give up hope on marriage. But we cannot let that happen as a culture and as a church. We've got to stand for marriage in the way that God intended it to be, because then and only then will we turn everything around to where it is supposed to be.
Amen. What a great way to close out. Thanks to you both. Amazing spokespeople. God bless your marriage and your children. Greg and Julie Alexander, again, just go to thealexanderhouse.org. You can find out about their ministry and also the June 26th event. Thanks to you both. And real quickly, I'll recap the other three things we talked about. Our Keeping the Promise Midsummer Evening of Wine, Wisdom, and Wow event is going to be Saturday, July 18th. If you want to get tickets to that, $100 each, go to grnonline.com/wow. We've had people buy tickets just during this program, I've noticed on my phone. And then we also talked about Colby Prison Ministries with Kerry Johnston. You can find out about them and also their event July 25th by going to colbyprisonministries.org. And we also have one family pack remaining to the Catholic Culture Revival event put on by Fullness of Truth Ministries. And this is going to be with Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jesse Romero, and Jennifer Baugh. So this is going to be in right outside Austin in Round Rock, June 5th through 7th. If you want a family pass, you, your spouse, and any kids under 21 living under your roof, call Cecil right now and claim this last one, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. This has been a great, great program. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And Cecil, thank you for your help. And we'll see you next Monday for the next Good News Show. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
everyone. This is Brandy Meeks, President and CEO of Vitae Foundation. I want to invite you to join me and my dear friend, Riley Gaines, at the Vitae Foundation Pro-Life event on Tuesday, September 22nd at the beautiful Dallas Country Club. Riley will share about why she advocates for men and women to protect their preborn babies. You don't want to miss this. Our last three events with her have all sold out, and we know this one will too. So get your tickets now at adsforlife.org. That's adsforlife.org.
Hi, this is Dave Palmer. If you are a small business owner and you listen regularly and love this station and you often hear the ads for our sponsors on the air, you've perhaps thought before, you know, I should promote my business on this station. I might increase my business, and by doing so, I will also be helping to keep this station that I love on the air and help spread the gospel message across the